Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Northam out. That's the chance there at the Virginia Second Amendment rally that took place today. Seen a lot of coverage on this, a lot of interesting conflicting coverage about what this rally was actually about. So what we do is we go straight to the source. Joining us now, Jack Posobiec, who is there at this rally. He is a host on OANN, and he is paying attention to all things news and politics there in D.C. Joins us. Jack, thank you so much for the time today. You must have had a pretty busy day so far.
Hey, Annie. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we hopped a train 6 in the morning from D.C., got into Richmond pretty early. The sun was still coming up. And, you know, I got to tell you that the way this thing was hyped up by the media beforehand completely conflicted with what we actually saw on the ground. I mean, you saw, sort of the mainstream media talking about white supremacists. You saw some people in right-wing media talking about Antifa, you know, and attacks and everything. And actually, what ended up happening was that it was really more of just law-abiding gun supporters, and that was it.
Isn't that kind of just a microcosm of the Second Amendment? Both sides inflating significantly the dramatics around it, but meanwhile, you just have a lot of law-abiding citizens who have the Second Amendment there for them, and they just want to exercise those rights?
That's very much true, and for the extent of it is, and I think people don't realize that, yeah, I mean, yes, there were a lot of Trump supporters there, and there was definitely a lot of Trump signs, but you didn't necessarily see Trump stuff everywhere. It was actually more just about the Second Amendment. It was about the rights enshrined in our Constitution. It was about the founding. And it's actually what people don't understand, what the media doesn't understand about America is that gun rights aren't a political issue. They're actually a cultural issue because that's deeply ingrained in the culture of America and certainly in many states. And that's why here on the ground in Virginia, we saw people from up and down the East Coast, from North Carolina, from Pennsylvania, from Ohio. We saw people from Michigan. We saw people from Texas, from California, who came all the way to Virginia to say, we want to stand with the people of Virginia because we do not want to see these rights go away anywhere.
So tell me, we're speaking with Jack Posobiec. I highly encourage you, if you haven't yet, to follow him on Twitter at Jack Posobiec. The protests that were out there chanting for Northam out, what is Virginia doing with their massively democratically controlled state government? What are they trying to do that has so many Second Amendment supporters up in arms about this?
So the new regulations that are set to take place and some the package of bills that's being debated actually is in flux right now. So some of the things that are proposed are being pulled off. So it is kind of a moving target at the moment. But a lot of what they're talking about is a similar package to what Maryland did a few years ago with bans on what they consider high capacity magazines. That's any magazine that's over 10 rounds. Bans on the types of guns you can have, and then also registration of certain firearms based on, you know, and anyone who has a background in firearms, they're based on somewhat arbitrary characteristics, things like a folding stock or different types of scopes, things that don't really have a great effect on the actual output of the platform.
So we're speaking with Jack Posobiec, who was at this Virginia rally here, people chanting for the governor to be out. We've got this clip here from a county sheriff.
If the bills go through as proposed, they will not be enforced. They're unconstitutional. We support uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Virginia, and that's what we'll do.
Outstanding.
So you've got a county sheriff there saying that if these bills do go through, that they're not going to enforce them. So there's a lot of disagreement on what the legislature there wants to do and how the people and the law enforcement, too, are going to react to it. Did you see a lot of representation? I don't know how law enforcement shows up at something like this, but did you see any?
Yeah, I actually talked to that same sheriff that you just played the clip of, and I saw a lot of sheriffs from around Virginia talking about it. And for them, this isn't necessarily, again, it's not a political issue for them. It's just a legal issue of it comes down to the supremacy clause of the Constitution, that federal law trumps state law. So if the state were to pass one of those laws, essentially what the counties are saying is that they refuse to pass or enforce unconstitutional laws, which would then set up essentially a court challenge at the federal courts and potentially, you know, eventually Supreme Court if it makes its way there.
Mm-hmm. Jack, do you feel as though the massive amount of people who showed up to protest today, does this have an effect on anything that will happen next in Virginia?
It's got to have an effect. This event was bigger than a Trump rally. This was bigger than a sporting event. I mean, this was massive. I've never seen anything like this in politics before, way bigger. This was a magnitude of 10 bigger than any Tea Party that ever happened. So what happened in Virginia today, if the people inside the state house do not wake up and take note of that or change their ways because of it, then they will probably not be in the state house much longer.
Yeah, it's interesting. It just kind of shows how the strength in numbers can actually have a positive effect if done appropriately. Let me ask you this. A lot of predetermined effect from the mainstream media about what this rally was really about. A lot of people suggesting this was actually a white supremacist rally. You being there in Virginia as this pro-gun rally was taking place, what was the makeup of the individuals who were there and how did this pro-gun rally represent itself?
Yeah, of the thousands and thousands of people I saw, I mean, people were really only there flying their state flag, flying the American flag, Trump flags, revolutionary flags like the Gadsden flag or Appeal to Heaven. There was no racial aspect to it whatsoever. And it was, you know, certainly as diverse as the state of Virginia is. In fact, the only sign that I saw the entire day that had anything to do with the Nazis was actually comparing Ralph Northam, the governor, to a Nazi. And one aspect that I think I'm breaking the news, I don't think anyone else caught this, but actually there were a group of Black Panthers that were marching supporting the rally today.
Wow. Did you speak with them? Were you in the same place as them, or did you just see the photographs of that?
I was. We did speak to them for One American News, and we're going to be playing that later once we get a chance to get it all uploaded. But, you know, they said they support the Second Amendment, and Black Panthers have historically supported the right of Black gun ownership and the Second Amendment going all the way back to their, you know, the start of their history. So for them, this has been something that they've been fighting all the way forward. And they found a lot of acceptance today. I know back in the 60s and 70s, that wasn't always the case. But when they came up to everyone today, they were welcomed with open arms.
We're speaking with Jack Posobiec, who is with One America News Network. And you've mentioned the media several times. You're part of the media, an alternative source for people to consume news and information at OWN there. And I want to ask you, in today's climate, be it a Virginia rally that's a pro-Second Amendment rally or a presidential election that affects the entire country, the impact of what takes place on the day-to-day, your observation of the mainstream media on any side versus what you're doing with your colleagues there at OWN, how much of an effect does the media coverage in the mainstream here today affect the way Americans see and consume news and information?
Well, it certainly drives the narrative in a sense, but because of social media and because the real explosion of different media outlets, like you mentioned, One American News is an independent outlet, but there's so many different options today that the audience really is sort of fractured. But through social media interaction, you sort of have this democratization of information. So, you know, as you mentioned, there was this narrative being pushed by certain, corporate media about, you know, white nationalism. But when you looked at people who were actually there at the event itself that were covering it live, you saw no evidence of that whatsoever. And so people are now able to see that because of independent journalists independent resources, independent outlets that are going on the ground. So you're getting this sort of like dual narrative thing going on. It's like watching, you know, two movies, but on the same screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting. And I think that the access to information in less traditional sources is going to make a big difference in this election and news and politics going forward. I want to ask you about this. You put out a tweet and you defined the centennial, which you and I both born, I believe, in 84.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
Obviously, because it's the most important thing to me. This is my show. But I do want to tie it in with the consumption of news and media. The social media way of learning things and discovering things and the way that information gets put out. You are a masterclass at Twitter and the way information can be disseminated to people. You are reaching a younger audience than the traditional, you know, network news or cable news audience is reaching. What do you think this is going to do to shape the millennial or centennial, as you have so aptly described, between Gen X and millennial? How do you think that our age of individual, the 30s, the maybe early 40s, is going to be affected by this shift in the way news and information is collected and disseminated?
Yeah, so the centennials, that's your kids who are born in the 80s, right? Which are different from the kids who are born in the 90s that never really experienced the, you know, the 20th century. So kids who were born in the 80s were sort of the last generation, the sort of the last generation of the century. That's why we call them centennials. And we had a, you know, analog childhood, but a digital adolescence. So we sort of were that link year, the crossover generation. And so for us, we understand the world pre-digital, but then also lived through that great blossoming and explosion of the internet, personal computing at the same time, sort of in the mid-90s to the early 2000s. So because we have that unique perspective, I think we look at social media very differently than a millennial or the Zoomers that are coming up now, born in the 2000s, because they only know the world with constant connection.
Yeah, and we have the ability also to shape how we take a boomer generation or maybe the older Gen Xers who are still working, still in the workforce and having to acclimate their business or their lifestyle, their workflow with this digital age and still translate it, kind of the connective link between the boomers and the kids today who don't even know how to take their nose out of their phone. They don't understand that human interaction person to person and how valuable that is. I think it's kind of on our shoulders to bridge that gap. And so you get to have a foot in both worlds. I think it's a very valuable thing. And I definitely, definitely subscribe to the idea that that version of millennial that is out there right now, being born in 84 myself, I do not relate to that at all.
Completely agree with you. And this idea that people were trying to lump 80s and 90s together as one generation, it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. The tech shift is way too big. It created too much of a social difference that you actually have kind of two micro generations that ended up coming into occurrence.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jack Posobiec, make sure you follow him on Twitter. You can follow him on Facebook as well. We love your work with One America News Network, and we love your contributions here anytime we can get them. Thank you very much for giving us that firsthand account on that Virginia rally today. Some valuable stuff there.
Gotta love it. Centennials rise up.
Yes, absolutely. The call has been made. Thank you so much, Jack. We'll speak to you again soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.